such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. I'm your brother. I share with you the distress, the endurance, and the kingdom we have in Christ Jesus. Welcome on this final day of April. This is the beautiful, beautiful month of April because you were born in April. I was born in April, and just the most beautiful people I know were born in April. You know,
Armand.
That's right. I forgot to wish him a happy birthday.
Right.
There's so many people who were born in April. So anyway, but equally as beautiful are the people born in May, in June, in July,
but not as much as April.
In June, it's Nick was born in June.
Well, maybe April and June.
April and June, January, February,
right.
And March, October and November,
December?
And September, and August, and July.
Did we get them all?
Everybody's beautiful. I heard that song on the radio. Do you remember that Ray Stevens song?
Yeah, I
think Everybody's
beautiful.
Everybody's beautiful. I listened to the, sometimes, it's 87.7. Mm-hmm. Have you ever, certainly we don't want anybody to switch over right now.
Right. But if you want to listen to music, that's...
Right. And a couple of years ago, I happened to find it on the radio. I don't know.
Is that the Me?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I was happy to find it because they have music from the 60s and the 70s and a lot of those old, you know, there's, to be honest, nothing to compare with the music of the, we're talking about soft rock and, you know, right. And that kind of stuff, the music or even the folk music of the 60s and... You know, Bob Dylan and what's her name?
Janis Joplin.
Janis Joplin.
Oh yeah.
Peter Paul and Mary. That's kind of not before my time, but I was just a babe.
Right.
More than a babe. I was more than a baby.
It's funny because and even for me, I listen to all kinds of music, and I'm one of those people that I'll listen, but there's just certain. Like even the 60s, the ones you're describing, it's a good time to remember music that way.
Yeah, and the music of the 70s, that was some nice music. I remember at the time, you know, the older generation, they're gone now, but they would, kind of balk at the music. It was kind of superficial. But it was, there's some really good artists, but at the same time, I'm not tuned into what's going on today, music-wise.
You don't really want to be.
And we need, and certainly I think more I gravitate toward the more classical and the more, everything is beautiful.
Everything is beautiful.
Everything is beautiful. I listened to that. And in some ways, you know, it was not really superficial, but kind of at the same time, because it was almost utopian. Well, it's utopian in the sense that don't we all want peace and harmony and the brotherhood and sisterhood of man. You got to say brotherhood and sisterhood
of man.
Of man, of not even of man, of
a man.
Of
person
humanity.
Kind?
Person, a people, of humanity.
Person-manity? I don't know.
It's funny how things have changed over the years. Things that would have, anyway, whatever. So,
right.
The music... of the 60s and the 70s and the 80s as well.
For me, it's the 80s.
Because
the
80s you were
best.
In high school in the 80s, right?
Yes, I was.
So I was.
I just loved the 80s.
I was in the seminary and became a priest in the 80s. So I missed, there's a whole year that I missed when I was in novitiate. Actually, that was 78, 79. So that was in the 70s. But there was that was a whole year that I missed because we couldn't hear anything. And every so often I'll pick up some. But a lot of that music was still popular into the 80s and even to this day.
And see, that's the thing too, and that's I love it about music and even fashion and things. It after a bunch of years, it comes back. It always comes back. I got my nieces and nephews that love the 60s stuff, the 60s music, believe it or not.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Yeah, the good old days, you know?
Good old days.
And yet that was when there was a big upheaval, the revolution that basically has brought us to the times we're in. And that's a little bit of what I want to speak about today. We didn't pray. We got to pray the Angelus, right? So it's a little bit beyond the 12 o'clock hour, but let us begin. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel made by his passion and cross, be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, a world without end. Amen.
And I'm going to conclude with this prayer. This is a prayer that the Holy Father, Pope Francis, he's asked that we pray this during May, even though this is the day before, the last day of April. Let's pray this a prayer. He wants us to pray this to Our Lady during the COVID-19 pandemic. We fly to your protection, O Mother, O Holy Mother of God, in the present tragic situation when the whole world is prey to suffering and anxiety. We fly to you, Mother of God and our Mother, and seek refuge under your protection. Virgin Mary, turn your merciful eyes towards us amid this coronavirus pandemic. Comfort those who are distraught and mourn their loved ones who have died and at times are buried in a way that grieves them deeply. Be close to those who are concerned for their loved ones, who are sick and who, in order to prevent the spread of the disease, cannot be close to them. Fill with hope those who are troubled by the uncertainty of the future and the consequences for the economy and employment. Mother of God and our Mother, pray for us to God, the Father of mercies, that this great suffering may end and that hope and peace may dawn anew. Plead with your divine Son as you did at Cana, so that the families of the sick and the victims be comforted and their hearts be open to confidence and trust. Protect those doctors, nurses, health workers, and volunteers who are on the front line of this emergency and are risking their lives to save others. Support their heroic effort and grant them strength, generosity, and continued health. Be close to those who assist the sick night and day, and to priests who, in their pastoral concern and fidelity to the gospel, are trying to help and support everyone. Blessed Virgin, illumine the minds of men and women engaged in scientific research that they may find effective solutions to overcome this virus. Support national leaders with that wisdom, solicitude, and generosity. They may come to the aid of those lacking the basic necessities of life and may devise social and economic solutions inspired by farsightedness and solidarity. Mary, most holy, stir our consciences so that the enormous funds invested in developing and stockpiling arms will instead be spent on promoting effective research and on how to prevent similar tragedies from occurring in the future. Beloved Mother, help us realize that we are all members of one great family and to recognize the bond that unites us so that in a spirit of fraternity and solidarity, we can help to alleviate countless situations of poverty and need. Make us strong in faith, persevering in service, constant in prayer. Mary, consolation of the afflicted, embrace all your children in distress and pray that God will stretch out his all-powerful hand and free us from this terrible pandemic so that life can serenely resume its normal course. To you who shine on our journey as a sign of salvation and hope, do we entrust ourselves, O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Actually, that's a very beautiful
that
prayer.
It is, yeah.
Wow. And that's interesting that he, and this is a point that I want to touch on today, but it's interesting that he says here, let's see, where was that paragraph? Mary, yeah, I have a problem. Isn't it strange? This is probably just me, but I can't refer to Our Lady as just Mary
yeah,
by her name.
Yeah.
But, you know, but that's her name. But if she's our mother, mm-hmm. I mean, I never call my mother Kathleen or Kathy or Janice.
Call her mom.
My mother was, we always knew her as Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how my father would. Well, my father didn't call her Kathy. He called her Ma. You know, mm-hmm. he says Ma. You know, she was always Ma, never.
That's nice.
But other people would call her Kathy, you know, the
right.
other adults and all that. And we were, because we were Air Force, we moved around, so we didn't grow up with cousins and mm-hmm. Aunts and uncles and all that, except once in a while they would visit, and once in a while we would go visit. But it was really, I would say the first 12 years of my life, we didn't see our cousins.
Mm.
As a baby, I was in Chicago when my grandfather died. We were here for several months, I think, but I was just a toddler, so I don't remember that. My one sister was born here in Chicago, the sister after me. So we didn't see cousins until the first time was when I was 12 years old. I was 12 years old. But my mother's siblings would come and visit from time to time. And she grew up, her name was Janice, which is a beautiful name, by the way.
Mm.
I thought if I had a daughter, I would name her Janice. I like that name, Janice. Have you ever heard that before?
Mm.
It's a beautiful
Janice.
Name. And that's how she grew up, because her name is Kathleen Janice.
Mm-hmm.
But my father, he called her Ma, but she was Kathy. And all her friends called her Kathy, but when her family came, they referred to her as Janice. And for as kids to hear that,
right.
it was really odd.
What are you talking?
Really
about?
Strange, yeah. But it's a beautiful name. I like the name Janice. I don't even know how you spell that. Maybe like Janice, but they pronounced it Janice. So anyway,
GE, I would think like Janice.
I'll check that out one of these days.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like Denise, but Janice.
Janice. Boy, I tell you, what's my issue? Why do I go off on these tangents, and then I don't know what I was, what was
you
the point that I
wanted
to make?
You can't call her lady by her name.
By her name, you know. She's our mother. She's
right.
The Blessed Mother. I can say Our Lady.
Our Lady.
Our Lady, the Mother of God,
mm-hmm.
the Blessed Virgin. I guess it's the Blessed Virgin Mary, I can say that, but just to say Mary mm-hmm. seems to me almost... disrespectful. But in this context, he says, Mary Most Holy.
Right.
Right.
You can do the title.
Right.
But not just like, this is Mary.
Hey, Mary.
My mom.
Like, but although Jesus, we refer to Jesus as Jesus.
Jesus.
Lord. Jesus
right.
the Lord. I always say it's Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But no, Jesus have mercy on me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus have mercy. I woke up in the morning, I don't know what time it was, you know, and I keep the rosary. I've got rosaries right. all over the place. I've got it in the car. I've got one next to my chair in my room. I've got one in the chapel. I got one always in my pocket. And I have
too.
One next to my bed. I have a little little stand right mm-hmm. there, and I have the rosary. So I've got the combat rosary. I've got the Rugged Rosaries. I've got Rugged Rosaries all over the place. But I like to pray with the Combat Rosary. That's one I keep in my pocket. But I woke up and I don't know what it was, but I just grabbed the rosary and it was just, you know, Jesus, mercy, Jesus, mercy, Jesus, mercy. It's a great consolation because you have the wicked dreams sometimes, you know, and certain fears kind of well up inside.
It's funny you're saying this, and I wanted to tell you this. It's 3 o'clock. It's such a good thing that it's you have it where you can go and look at it at any time.
Right.
I usually try to do the Divine Mercy at 3 o'clock, but a lot of times I'm working and I can't.
Sure.
So it's usually by the end of the night I do it, and I went, you know, Mr. Tony that doesn't know too much about technology decides, okay, well, I'm just going to go ahead and do the link and then to sit and do the 3 o'clock, you know, with you, which is nice.
Sure, sure. Yeah,
it's a nice, you know, you could close your eyes and just listen. And that's what I did. It's usually,
You actually follow us on the...
Yeah. It's like I would do it normally at 3 o'clock, but, you know, a lot of times I don't have the time. But just the fact it was so good, I just thought about it. It just came into my mind. I needed to do it. And I put it to my ear, and I was just...
So, you know, the camera and even radio, I don't listen to radio. I can't hear... I can't, and this is not uncommon. Most people don't like the sound of their voice because we sound one way as we're speaking, and then when you hear yourself,
I can understand that. In a kind of weird way, in a deep way, I was thinking, for you that does not like this, I even thought, okay, I can give somebody the link and say, look, this is the Divine Mercy. Pray this, because I do have the cards, and a lot of times I'm very cautious sometimes on how I distribute them to somebody because I also think that, okay, I want to give you the card, but if you abuse or throw it out, it's going to make me feel, you know, horrible.
Sure.
But it's my way of saying, here, this is the prayer. At least pray it. And that's how I kind of introduce people to this. But now I just thought about this. I can give people the link.
Sure.
And they can sit and just know the Divine Mercy from just listening to you. And I would never have thought of that.
So does it come across as a prayer?
Yes, it
because,
does.
Because, see, that's the hard thing is when you're – I'm in the church by myself because they have it – they got it rigged in a way that the lights go off at a certain – everything is on a timer. And so when I go in – and of course, the church is empty and it's all dark, but the Divine Mercy, the little chapel to the Divine Mercy, that little altar, the little niche there, Ermita. That's what they call it in Spanish, I think, Ermita. But in any case, when I pray it, and so I go there by myself, you know, I was just told today, you know, to start the prayer right when I kneel down because people think that the audio is not coming through because sometimes I'll go and I'll kneel down and I'll just kind of recollect to myself.
Aside from the fact sometimes, and just might be my phone, I don't know if it's normally that way, you know, it stops and buffers.
Could, yeah, I heard that.
Which it is good. I mean, it's just that, again... Because I'm used to you doing this, and I know, and even for myself who does this, I pray this quite often, but it's the fact that at the time I just took it and I just listened to it, I immediately thought about how easy this then is to just give to somebody and say, here, just this is the prayer, this is how you do it.
Sure.
And I mean, the prayer, to prayer for me at this point is, I could not, I don't know how to explain it to people. It's like something that's ingrained. But just to listen to it puts me in the mood, puts me in the space to just prayerfully do it.
See, for me, having people present is important. Mm-hmm. And so it's the odd thing is praying it by myself and answering the prayers. Because usually, if I'm in the chapel, of course, I'm by myself, but I don't pray in an audible way. Sometimes I do, or it might be kind of a whispering prayer. Yeah. You know, it's just like, but you're... before the Blessed Sacrament, or if I'm in the car, if I'm, like as I say, in the bed, and I've got the rosary and I'm praying, you're very conscious of the fact that your attention is directed to the Lord. Now, when you're leading people in prayer, you know, of course, and this is why I absolutely am an advocate of the ad orientem, you know, facing the east or facing the tabernacle. for the celebration of the Mass, because you're more conscious of the fact that you're directing the prayer in Christ to the Father. Mm-hmm. But when I do the chaplet at the 3 o'clock hour, it's I have to really concentrate and realize, okay, I'm praying. I'm conscious of the fact that there's a camera, that it's live. I have nobody there, and I have to answer my own prayers. And so you keep repeating that, and it sounds, the more you repeat it, it sounds like I'm not pronouncing I'm mis, you know, like, what was it? There's a few words, certainly that word in Spanish, which is very hard to say, because two of the decades I do in Spanish, yeah. Misericordia, no?
Yeah.
Misericordia.
It sounds good because I'm listening to you and trying to form my pronunciation, because I do it. I can do it in Spanish.
Sure, sure.
But not on the spot, but just the fact that I'm listening to you.
Sure.
And it's your phrasing, and I'm not trying to, but the way you phrase it is the way to learn it.
But if you take a word and you keep pronouncing it over and over and over and over, eventually it sounds weird.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a passion, 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 or our world, mm-hmm. world. And then you can think, I'm not pronouncing this word right. This doesn't sound right to me. For the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world, mm-hmm. world, world, world. It begins to sound strange mm-hmm. to me. So, it's only in that kind of a context.
Mm-hmm.
If like at the end of the Mass in the evening when we have the people, can't wait for the people to come back, but I always end the Mass, after the Mass, I go to the iconic monstrance,
mm-hmm.
and we end, when I have the Mass, we'll end with the chaplet mm-hmm. in the evening. And so the people are there, and they'll respond. So I say, for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole mm-hmm. world. They know, they answer that, right?
Right.
Because I say, for the sake of his sorrowful passion, mm-hmm. and then have mercy on us and on the whole world. Is that right? Yes.
Yeah. Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
But do I say it? No, they say it.
They say it.
They say it. I just say, for the sake of his sorrowful passion, and then they respond, have mercy on us
and on the whole world.
So anyway, these are just the quirks of my quirks, but I think they're the quirks of many people. So
I know what you say too, because sometimes when I do it at home, I do the litany. And that's hard because you want that somebody to answer you, and then you have to stop and then answer. And I guess as you lead it, there's a rhythm you do, and it's a little hard when you have to answer.
Now, I will say that, and I want to do this on Fridays. I'd like to, but because we're going into the month of May, we're going to do the chaplet,
right.
And then we're going to do this prayer, the Holy mm-hmm. Father's prayer, and then I want to end with the litany of Loretto to Our Lady.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be a little bit longer. But I'd like to do on Fridays. I just don't. Maybe after the month of May, because we want to do this. Mm-hmm. And again, you got to be conscious of the fact that people are, you know, they've got they can tune out any time they want.
Yeah.
You know, but the exorcism prayer to Saint Michael. Now, when I was praying that, I've done that twice. That's a powerful prayer. And somebody had asked me, somebody's been asking for it. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't give the exorcism prayer because only the priest can pray the exorcism prayer, which was, and when I was praying that, that was a powerful prayer. But even, so yesterday I had to type out the first part of the prayer, which is pretty long. It's mm-hmm. the prayer to St. Michael, the original prayer to St. Michael. I think it was written by a Pope, St. Leo, who had that vision or that experience where he was confronted by the devil, and I don't remember exactly the story, but it was the result of that experience, because he became very pale and sickly looking, and everybody around him knew that he had something was going on, and he had had this experience. Kind of a mystical experience, and as I understand, he could see 100 years into the future, and that Satan would have this certain reign over the world, but it frightened him so much so that he made it obligatory that at the end of Mass, the St. Michael prayer would be prayed. Now, the St. Michael prayer we pray, and we pray it most of the time here at the end of the Mass, the abbreviated, which I thought that was the original prayer. But the original prayer, we'll have to pray it here. I don't have it with me now.
We should take the opportunity because for some of these prayers just to introduce them.
Absolutely, we should do that. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow because it's a powerful, powerful prayer. So I typed it yesterday, retyped it for somebody who has a prayer group, and they wanted the whole prayer, but I couldn't give them the exorcism prayer because only the priest can pray that. But I gave them the first part of the prayer, and that is pretty long. But it's but that in and of itself is really powerful. Wow. So, and I tell you, really, and we need to invoke the prayers of Saint Michael at this time. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and then I'll. Well, let me just conclude this the initial thought that I had, which you know, if don't, nobody will know what I was leading into anyway. But I thought it was interesting that the Pope and the Holy Father in this prayer says he writes in this prayer, "Mary, most holy, stir our consciences so that the enormous funds invested in developing and stockpiling arms will instead be spent on promoting effective research on how to prevent similar tragedies from occurring in the future." Now, that's kind of interesting because when a couple of weeks ago he gave the impression, he was asked a question, and he talks off the cuff, and which is in many ways it's kind of really rather imprudent because of his position, because of who he is, because things are really when you talk off the cuff, as I do all the time here, you know, certainly. But my whole life is talking off the cuff. But the point is that he gave when he was asked about the virus, he said, "Well, this is nature lashing back on humanity," and some people took issue with that. I, for one, I thought, you know, is it nature or is it perhaps there's something deeper going on here that's looking the. In the realm of the spiritual. And the fact that he, in this paragraph, in this part of the prayer, makes reference to stockpiling arms, investing funds arms are certainly for the destruction of people. Mm-hmm. But this virus, the more I've looked into it, and there's a lot of documentaries. There's one called "The Origin of the Coronavirus" from this group called it's Crossroads with Joshua Philip. It was really fascinating. But I've read a number of things, and then there's been some news items on this as well. Where did it really come from? And it seems, and certainly they're still doing an investigation, but it seems that it actually came from that laboratory. You know, and not, was it accidentally released or was it purposeful? That's a question that nobody really knows at this point. But the implication is that this is really rather nefarious. There's an evil component to this that's not just the freak backlash of nature. But in fact, the deliberate creation of a virus meant to inflict or afflict human beings with disease and death, and that's a far cry from just the backlash of nature because of our, you know, our disordered lives or whatever. Or maybe you can say that somehow that's all related. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back, I want to raise a question about the pandemic. And is this a warning? Is it a warning? Could worse things happen if we don't? Because it's multi-layered, right? Yeah. The whole virus the virus itself. Questions surrounding the virus, the origins, where it came from, how it came into being. Even they don't know enough about this virus, the more and more I read, and there's so many conflicting ideas as to what what it is or what it can do or what it, you know, what it's doing, what it will do. There are different strains of it. Mm-hmm. Will it mutate into something worse or something more mild? Will we, whatever, there's, you know, people are inundated with information that they're almost they're tired of listening. So that's one aspect of it. The other part of it is, you know, the political, how this is used, how this virus is being used politically. Look what it's done to our nation and nations throughout the world. Who would have ever thought that 2 months ago that the whole world, in such a short period of time, the whole world would be in lockdown?
Shut down.
So that's another layer. The whole economic, the ramifications of this in the overall global economy, let alone the economy of our own nation. Was I listening this morning? I heard that there are more people. There are, or there will be, sooner than later, more people unemployed than ever before. Statistically, mm-hmm. right, percentage-wise, in the United States.
I can see that.
I could see it as well. Mm-hmm. But then there's also the spiritual component, you know, because God is those of us who are believers. The Lord is the Lord of history, and I go back to the what Pope John Paul II said before he was raised to the papacy. He says, "I do not think that the Christian world or the whole of the world understands that we're up against a final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, between the gospel and the anti-gospel, between the Christ and the antichrist." And he said, "This is a trial we have to take up, but it's all within the design of God's providence, and it's something we have to suffer." This is very interesting. That's not the word for word the quote, mm-hmm. but those are that's the gist of it, right?
Right.
But it begs the question, you know, what is the meaning of this? And that's what I want to address. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back after 32 minutes nonstop. We'll take a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back. And I am Father Anthony, and you're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
The First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution is quite clear about the freedom of religion not being abridged. And yet, by executive order, only 10 people can attend a Sunday service in a house of God, even if that church has a capacity of 1,000 people, even though the attendees abide by social distancing. That's ludicrous. By executive order, your Sunday attendance is considered non-essential. And even now, the Little Sisters of the Poor have to defend their religious freedom. Again, Winds of Change will have periodic programs on the defense of our religious freedom. Stay tuned to Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change.
On AM 750, WNDZ.
Because of the unprecedented COVID-19 virus pandemic, the Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's needs your immediate help. The Soup Kitchen is asking for your donations of water, juice boxes, individual food servings, hand sanitizers, and Lysol. The Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's is operating regular hours during this pandemic. The Soup Kitchen is operated by the Daughters of St. Mary Providence from the basement of St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, which serves over 21,000 meals per year. To offer your help, please call Sister Darlene at 773-870-2435. That number again is 773-870-2435. Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I have a question, and I think we spoke about this the other day. I started because I was reflecting on this already. Mm-hmm. People are going to be hearing this. You know, they're going to hear it today. You're going to hear it. I might speak a little bit about it tomorrow. You'll be hearing it on Sunday in the homily. It's going to be printed in the bulletin and probably in flock note. But it's kind of my thoughts for this week, and it's based on the readings coming up this Sunday, which are really quite a powerful readings. But I start with a question. When this pandemic goes away, if and when it goes away, or if and when the worldwide lockdown is lifted, will we go back to life as it was before this began? Now, you hear many people say life is going to change forever, but they're not, they're not looking at it from, you don't hear from this perspective. Maybe you do if you go to a religious website or a blog space or whatever. But it's more like, you know, are we going to be able to go to restaurants? Are we going to be able to go to sporting events? Are we going to be able to go to the concert, to the theaters? Are we going to have, what's school going to look like? Mm-hmm. You know, people are wondering. But I asked the question for a different reason. Will we go back to life as it was before this began? I answer my own question. If we go back to what was, then a lesson has not been learned and greater atrocities may befall us. Mm-hmm. Now, to say that would bother people to no end, I think, especially in the church today. And it's not just the Catholic Church, but in the broader, you take all denominational Christians and all that. I'll try to explain this as we go along. And then I ask a question, or I make a statement, that the so-called pandemic may be a mere warning, might be a warning. So the reading from the Sacred Scripture this Sunday calls us to be aware, to be aware. St. Peter, this is from the Acts of the Apostles. You're going to hear this on Sunday if you go to Mass. You're going to have to, isn't that weird to say?
Yeah. If you go to Mass.
If you tune in.
Right.
Strange. But you'll hear that St. Peter is very pointed in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, exhorting us, because he says, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So I say, you know, save ourselves. He's exhorting us, because the Scripture is for all people, for all time, and there's nothing new under the sun, but that we, you know, are exhorted to save ourselves from this corrupt generation. Again, people will take issue with that. Oh, this is a corrupt generation. Well, some people will. Many people, they understand, because people tell me this all the time, you know. And he said, repent every one of you. Repent every one of you. That's Peter. And then in the gospel, Jesus, in the gospel of John, warns us to be on the lookout for thieves and robbers, false shepherds, and strangers to the faith who care nothing about our well-being nor our salvation. He said they are deceivers who come to, quote-unquote, only to steal and slaughter and destroy, unquote. He cautions us, Jesus cautions us to keep our eyes, or rather our ears, attentive to his voice, that we not be led astray by the voice of a stranger. So this is, the Scriptures are calling us to be aware, to be aware. Now, a little over, and tomorrow begins a month of May, so this is a Marian month, although Mary isn't relegated to this month or that month, but May and October are months that are basically dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary, but she's part of our daily life. Many of us pray the rosary daily, sometimes many times a day. So a little over 100 years ago, in 1917, as all of you well know, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to three children in Fatima, Lucia, Jacinta, and Francisco, through a series of visitations that lasted from May to October. I think it was always on the 13th of the month. She repeated what we read in Scripture this Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter, because at the heart of her message is a call for repentance, for penance, for prayer. She spoke of immorality that offends God. She spoke of the coming crisis of faith in the world and corruption in the lives of bishops and priests. She spoke of the destruction of marital and family life. She spoke of atheism spreading throughout the world. Now, specifically, I mean, she did say pray for the Holy Father. Was she very specific about the corruption in the lives of bishops and priests and divisions? Yes, of course, but I don't recall whether, I don't have with me right now the specific messages of those apparitions, but Lucia, one of the visionaries, the only one who lived a long life, the others, she even said, that Jacinta and Francisco would die shortly. And they did, and I didn't realize this, but they died of the Spanish flu.
Wow.
Yeah. So that virus that killed millions of people, from what I understand, in 1918. So in any case, if you just look back at the past 100 years, and again, it's all related to the vision of Pope Saint Leo. Leo the 13th. But Pope Saint Leo, who gave us the prayer to Saint Michael, in the course of these past 100 years, systemic atheism through communism and fascism have resulted in genocides, holocausts, and the systemic killing of millions upon millions of innocent people. These are atheistic regimes. So when people, you know, are critical of the church and all that, and the corruption in religion, yeah, there's always, well, in fact, I'll bring this up in a moment, but systemic atheism resulted in the genocides, holocaust, systemic killing of millions upon millions of people just in the past 100 years. In our own nation, politicians and Catholic as politicians have legislated for abortion at the trimester of pregnancy, furthering the legalization of abortion to the very moment of the birth of a baby, and that's been celebrated. When that was legislated, that was celebrated. It was appalling, the uproar of applauding and cheering and hip hip hooray, and the lighting of the Empire State Building and all that. It was celebrated. The killing, the legalization of abortion itself in the moment of conception, life is conceived. So abortion is an evil, and has resulted in, I mentioned this the other day, we've been saying for 10 years, 50 million people, it's far more than 50 million people, people, because these are individuals, these are human beings. We live in a radically permissive society that ignores biology and dangerously manipulates the psychosexual development of our children. I mean, we know that. That's commonsensical. That's science. Biology, but we in it's in it's been it's again it's a systemic thing in institutions of education in our nation and in much of the Western world. This manipulation, manipulating the psychosexual development of children, our children, not respecting biological distinctions. Now, we're rightfully concerned with the release of a virus, which is not, as I just mentioned in the previous segment, the freak backlash of nature, but rather the machinations of human beings who, from a bat, a really demonic-looking bat. I think about that bat.
Yeah.
Very demonic-looking beast, that from the bat developed human beings who, from a bat, developed a virus for the specific purpose of afflicting other human beings with disease and death. Now, at the same time, we're suffering this opioid addiction, which is taking the lives of thousands of young people in our nation. Then you look at the enslavement to pornography, which perverts sexuality, exploits women and men and young people. But collectively speaking, do we even care? And then there's also the lust for violence, ever more graphic in the film and game industry, which consumes us. We just seem to, it's a lust for violence. It's just more and more graphic. So, and all these things, you got to follow the money. But I ask you, dear listeners, Can you argue anything of what I've just written, what I've just said? I've written it, but what I just said. Can you argue anything of what I just said? Can you argue any of that?
No.
Can you reconcile any of this with sacred scripture and the sacred tradition of our Catholic faith? Yet the culprits perpetrating these sins against humanity have us eating from the palm of their hands, collectively speaking. You know? The Blessed Virgin Mary appears more often than not to young people with messages that go unheeded. And she has appeared not only in Fatima, but in Ecuador, in France, in Japan, in Africa, in the Netherlands, in Venezuela, Spain, Egypt, and other places around the world. We're just talking in the past 100 plus years, but really in the past century. Okay, the apparitions aside, just from a biblical perspective, should we be surprised that the world is in lockdown? Would it be deemed fanatical to suggest worse will come if we do not return to God? It's a question.
A good question.
So I'm going to take a break and then come back and we'll keep going until we end the show, okay? But I ask the question because for many people, even in the church, it's deemed fanatical to suggest that this could be a punishment, a chastisement. This is fanatical thinking. But I'm saying, just from a biblical perspective, is it? Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
Because of the unprecedented COVID-19 virus pandemic, the Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's needs your immediate help. The Soup Kitchen is asking for your donations of water, juice boxes, individual food servings, hand sanitizers, and Lysol. The Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's is operating regular hours during this pandemic. The Soup Kitchen is operated by the Daughters of St. Mary Providence from the basement of St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, which serves over 21,000 meals per year. To offer your help, please call Sister Darlene at 773-870-2435. That number again is 773-870-2435. Thank you. During this COVID-19 virus pandemic, offering you prayer and inspiration through your faith.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy with us at 3 p.m. Central Time, streamed live from St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Go to the St. Stanislaus Kostka Church Facebook page and pray with us daily at 3 p.m.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
As we sit home or are doing the necessary and often courageous jobs for your family and others, Father Anthony invites you to be with us Sundays, where you will see the English, Spanish, and Polish Masses on the St. Stanislaus Kostka Facebook homepage. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church will keep you updated via flocknote.com or by texting the word Kostka, spelled K-O-S-T-K-A, to 845-76, or via the St. Stanislaus Kostka homepage on Facebook, plus the parish website, ststandschurch.org. Keep listening for more information on Winds of Change, Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. As always, we ask you to lift your voice to God, our rock and our shelter.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So, you know, I've been saying the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, and the apparitions have been, basically, she's been warning us. She's been preparing us in a very, very specific way. And we're just about out of time today, but we'll keep coming back to this. Because I find it just fascinating. And who would have thought 2 months ago the whole world would be in a lockdown in such a short period of time, just overnight almost. It seemed like it happened overnight. But I asked a question before the break. Would it be deemed fanatical to suggest that worse will come if we do not return to God, if we don't change our ways, just from a biblical perspective? Put the apparitions aside. But the apparitions that I look to are the ones that are approved by the church. But I do have to say, you know, that the Jesus, quote unquote, the Jesus so often preached in our churches today is one-dimensional, and his love is grossly misunderstood. It's kind of the Jesus of, what was it, the Godspell and Jesus Christ Superstar, the hippie Jesus in the garden, tiptoeing through the tulips, and, you know, God is love, and yes, God is love, but Jesus is not a permissive God. The love of Jesus is grossly, grossly misunderstood. He's not a permissive God, but a terribly demanding God because he loves the sheep, you know? Could he be whipping out that cord, you know, when he was in the temple, you know, he upturned the tables. He was extremely angry, a righteous anger. In the gospel this Sunday, he says he is the gate and the shepherd. And those who enter through him and are led by him will be saved. There is no other way. There is no other one. The Pope, bishops, priests feed from the Lord and from no other. If this is not the case, they commit sacrilege and are thieves who rob the souls of those entrusted to their care, and they will be judged by God accordingly. Now, that's not to say that that they're going to be perfect. No, none of us are perfect. You know, we have to go to confession. We have to seek the sanctification of our lives. We have to be conscious of the fact that we have a charge to be shepherds to the people, to shepherd in the person of the Supreme Shepherd, and to feed from his hand, right? So the Pope, bishops, and priests feed from the Lord and from no other. If this is not the case, they commit sacrilege, they are thieves who rob the souls of those entrusted their care. They will be judged by God accordingly. Nobody should be bothered by that. It's what the Lord is speaking in the gospel. In this gospel, this coming Sunday, in John's gospel, but it's written through the whole gospels. Mm-hmm. Who crucified him? Who saw it to that he would be abducted or arrested, interrogated, and judged and put to death? It was the bishops and the priests of that time, the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests. You know, it was the temple guard who arrested him. He was taken to the house of the Caiaphas, the high priest, before turned over to the secular authorities, Pontius Pilate. You know, we all know that there's problems in the church. More than a few people have said to me, you know, I don't know why I remain a Catholic with all the bad things that go on in the church. But we have to understand, Jesus told us it would be. He didn't deceive us. He said, you're always going to have scandal, but he says, woe to those who are the cause of it. In fact, he'll even say, woe to those who are the cause of it. Better that a millstone be put around their neck than be thrown in the sea and drowned. Those who lead the innocent. It's not just the little children, but the innocent, those who hold to the faith. For our part, you know, we have to be the anawim. I keep saying this over and over, which means we have to be the small flock of our time, which means we keep faith. We work toward the sanctification of our lives in Christ. And you'll hear this on Sunday, and today the world needs the very bold proclamation of Peter, as heard in this Sunday's first reading. And just listen to what he says. He says, this is Peter completely transformed in the Acts of the Apostles. He's not a, a cowardly man. He's not a fearful man. He is a man imbued with the Spirit of God. He says, let the whole house of Israel, the whole of, and today it would be the whole, let the whole of Mother Church know for certain that God has made both Lord and Christ, this Jesus who was crucified. And what will it take for us to respond to those who heard this proclamation 2,000 years ago? What does the Scripture say? The Scripture says they were cut to the heart. And they said, what are we to do? What are we to do? The Holy Mother of God today re-echoes Peter's response. He says, repent and be baptized. Or today he would say this, she says, live your baptism, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. That's a message Our Lady brings. It's the message that Peter brought to the people. And 3,000 people were converted that day, were baptized. Can you imagine? You know, I wonder how God is going to, because he can, she often speaks of a sign. We have no idea what that would be. But what will it be to bring us to conversion? Well, to conclude, we'd be wise to heed the Blessed Virgin Mary's call to place ourselves in her Immaculate Heart. Specifically, that's what she said at Fatima. Have devotion to my Immaculate Heart. In other words, place yourselves in my Immaculate Heart. Pray the rosary daily for conversion and for peace. I mean, gosh, if we don't understand the need for that today, 100 years later, to her heart, through her heart, we have immediate access into the heart of Jesus, who brings us in a humble way, but a joyful way, to proclaim with Peter, as we hear in the reading. And this is where we humbly have to collectively say, we had all gone astray like sheep, but we choose now to return to the shepherd and guardian of our souls. By his wounds we have been healed. That's the reading this coming this upcoming Sunday. And this begins with each and every one. In death, when we die, the Lord is not going to ask, hey, Tony, what did the Pope do, or the Bishop, or Father Anthony? What did the priest do? No, he's going to ask rather, what did you do with the gift of life that was entrusted to you? Now, if the pandemic awakens us to renewed faith in Christ, the world will be better for it. If I always say, even Chicago, if all Catholics in Chicago truly live the faith, imperfect as we are, sinners as we are, but with a sensitivity to sin, a sensitivity to God, if we really tried to live the faith, Chicago would be transformed.
Yeah.
And I just kind of conclude here by reminding you, as I remind you so often, what did Jesus say? He says, fear not that which kills the body. Fear not that which kills the body, but rather fear those who can kill the soul. And truly, the powers and the principalities are out there to kill the souls of the people today. And so the question again, this pandemic, is it a wake-up call? Is it God trying to wake us up? Is it a warning? And if we don't heed the call, are there worse atrocities that await us? This is a genuine question. It's a very biblical question. It has precedence. So think about it, everybody, okay? Thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
Can you see the winds have changed?
each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.